Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, as Tara Reed says, you guys are so great sometimes. I just go on Twitter because you all just make me smile. Thanks. That's the reason I go on Twitter, because she makes me smile. The rest
no
of
one
you,
else on Twitter makes you smile.
Yeah, the rest of you I could do without, but Tara's the one I need.
I've got people asking me if you're going to do the thing, the getting off Twitter, not checking your mentions and just tweeting. You never did it.
Yeah, actually, this weekend would be perfect for it.
Way before an NBA weekend starts, because you know you can't do it during the season.
Yeah, so. That's true. Yeah, no, that's going to be great. Oh, this will be perfect because anniversary with my lady friend is on Monday. So Saturday, Sunday, I just completely unplug. I won't do anything on Monday. This is good. This I can totally do.
My wife and I's anniversary is on the 27th. It comes just around the season opener every year, and we've decided to split it into two events. So we're doing one that's going to take the kid into Denver and go to the aquarium and have family fun day. And that's gonna be part of it. And then this Friday we've got a free babysitter from our daycare, so we're going out on Friday. And she asked me last night. She's like, well, there's a couple different things that we can do. We can go get coffee after dinner. We can go do something this other thing after dinner. She's like, I know you like to go see movies, so if you want, we can go see a movie. I was like, oh, what do you want to go see? And she's like, well, we can go see Don John. And I was like, let me get this straight. For our anniversary, you want to go see a movie about a Guido with a porn addiction? That's what you want to go see?
I mean, I'm not going to say it's the most romantic movie I've ever heard of, but it's up there.
Yeah. Is Guido offensive?
I don't know.
I hope not. If it is, I didn't mean to.
They use it on Jersey Shore. Nothing's more offensive than what you see on Jersey Shore. So the word cannot be offensive.
Right. And she's like, yeah, but Scarlett Johansson's in it. And I was like, yeah, but she plays somebody who's obsessed with romantic comedies. This sounds that's the thing. I love Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'm happy he made a movie and that he's expanding his range as a director and as a producer of media. But this film is nothing I want to see.
I do want to see it, but I don't know that I would pay to see it. I would probably wait for it to be on HBO.
Right. So we wanted to continue our game from yesterday that we started talking about. On yesterday's podcast, we were discussing teams, games during the regular season that teams need to win.
Yeah.
Because there are very few that you actually need to win. And some of this is contextual. So, if you go into a game and half your starters are out or half their starters are out, it doesn't matter. Unless you have to hit them full strength in order for it to really count, I guess. It's going to count anyway, but for it to matter in our assessment of you.
Yeah, yesterday, for example, you picked the Knicks as the team. And who were the three teams they had to beat? And I said the Pacers, the Nets, and the Heat. And you agreed with the Pacers. The other two you were kind of iffy on.
Yeah, the Nets I'm okay with. I think you're right on that one. But the Heat, I don't think. I just don't. They could go 4-0 against the Heat this season. It doesn't matter. It just does. That is one you're only really going to be able to touch them until you get into the playoffs. I mean, even LeBron, LeBron yesterday said that there are games that are tense, but he doesn't think that there are any rivalries with Miami in the East.
Isn't that a perspective thing? Because for LeBron and the Heat, they have the target on their back from everybody. Back-to-back champs, they did the big celebration before they won the championships, all that stuff. And so people have always been targeting them since they got together. Whereas with the Knicks, I think for them to go 4-0 against the Heat in the regular season, that would actually mean something to them, even though it wouldn't mean anything to the Heat.
True. I think it would – I don't know, though. I guess I feel like – they're not going to be able to convince themselves it matters until the playoffs. You can say that about all the teams, but I think with the Pacers, at least, it's more of a, I think it would do more for them in order to establish a level of control over that, which they really lost in the playoffs. They looked good against them in the regular season and then just got worked in that playoff series.
Right.
So it's an interesting kind of debate. Here's one for you, the Thunder.
Yeah, that is a good one. I mean, I feel like the Spurs have to be one, even though the Spurs don't take the regular season seriously. Spurs would have to be there. I would guess the Grizzlies, because that seems like kind of a tough matchup. They had a little playoff history. And then the Rockets, I guess, because of James Harden. Now Dwight's there. They've got Kendrick Perkins, who's supposed to be the Dwight guy. I think those would be my three picks.
Here are the ones I think they need to win. The Spurs, they need to. I think if they play them four times, they need to at least split with the Spurs. If they play them three times, they need to win two.
Yeah.
That I agree with you 100% on that one. I think that they need to beat the Clippers. Ooh. I think beating the Clippers would be a very strong statement of, no, you can get Doc Rivers, you can add J.J. Redick, that's fine. You're still not good enough. This
yeah, that's still, that's a good answer, I think.
Yeah, this is still very much our conference. It's a it, being the Clippers is one of those we still run this game kind of deals.
Yeah, you're marking your territory.
You're never going to get anything out of beating the Spurs because the Spurs are going to be like, regular season, we don't care.
Right.
Just don't care. Don't give a damn. Could not care less. But the Clippers, I think that it definitely sends a message, especially because those are two teams that tend to run it up on opponents. So I think, and that's why I think that could be fun. The Grizzlies is an interesting one because they've got two playoff series against each other. Last year, obviously, was not full strength.
Right.
The Grizzlies took them to seven in 2011, and they beat them last year. I still don't necessarily – I feel like that's one for Memphis but not for OKC.
Yeah, I was a little hesitant with picking, and just the playoff history is why I chose them. I think because Memphis will take it so seriously, that can translate to where Durant gets up for the game, Westbrook gets up for the game. You know, I think like that kind of attitude can permeate to that Thunder team because they do get kind of caught up in – I think the tense nature of certain games, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I think it motivates them, so I think they could get wrapped up in that.
I'm actually gonna say the Heat. I think beating Miami. If the biggest thing about beating Miami, if they went 2-0 versus Miami, it's not, you know, again, we're not saying that these games translate at all to A, their confidence against them in the playoffs, B, the fact that we should change our consideration of whether they would win in a playoff series. We're not saying that. But it does help to get confidence. I think it does help for you to be able to say, we've had so much trouble with Miami, because really Miami worked them over last year. It was, we got hyped up for those games, and Miami was just like, nope, not so much. Not really. I think it would be really good for OKC to beat Miami, to be able to say to themselves, you know, we're a title contender. We are definitively a title. We can play with the absolute best in this league.
Especially after the concerns and questions since the James Harden trade. That may just be fodder for all of us and doesn't really matter to them, and they just want to not answer those questions because they don't care. But there is still that. I mean, if you can silence those questions, then that's another way to get away from it, because you're not going to stop reporters from asking these same questions all the time. Like, we've seen that. You know, Kobe, LeBron, they still get asked the same questions every time, and at a certain point, if you can take away certain questions, like LeBron has taken away the questions about whether or not he can win, whether or not he's the best, he's the leader, blah blah blah. He did that by winning, and I think that, you know, Kobe did that by helping the Lakers return to a championship form after a year out of the playoffs and a year in which they got beat by the Suns in the playoffs once Shaq left. You know, there are certain questions that you can silence by winning, and so maybe that's, you know, you still have to, the Thunder would still have to beat the Heat in an NBA Finals to truly silence that, but you could kind of knock that away a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case. What about Chicago?
Chicago, it's definitely the Heat. The Heat are the number one team they're going to measure themselves against. The Pacers, because this is a new division rival in terms of both teams are now projected to be great, right? They're healthy, yeah. They're great, you know, they're phenomenal defensive teams, and they have offensive stars who can really shine at times. Now, Rose obviously more than Paul George, but Paul George has also come up quite a bit in the last year. Actually, I wonder if there's a kind of a, I mean, I don't think Paul George would get to Derrick Rose's level, but there's a little bit of a similarity there between their instant rises, right?
A little bit.
There's
a little bit of correlation.
There are enough differences to where I don't need you to tweet me about how different it is. But there, I don't know, that's a little interesting comparison to make. But so I would say the Pacers, because they're going to want that. I mean, division titles are stupid. Like, they really are dumb. All they do, I guess, is guarantee you a banner if you're a team that has not been historically successful enough to not hang division banners. But I think that winning that division, showing, hey, this is our section territory, we run this, like, no one else runs this, like, that is, that's an important thing for certain teams. So I would say the Heat, the Pacers. The third one's kind of tough. I would go maybe... Would the Knicks be one? Oh, I don't think the Knicks are that... I guess maybe because of the storied rivalry, I would go with the Knicks. Like, maybe if both teams are really good this year, which they should be, that'll, you know, get the competitive juices flowing from the past. I'll just go with the Knicks because I don't think I really have a third answer.
They would not feel this way. The general public is not going to feel this way. I have a sneaky answer for the third one.
Okay.
The Hawks.
Oh.
Atlanta played them exceptionally tough in 2011. Everyone kind of forgets that series. That was a really good series. The Hawks really pushed them in that series.
Yeah. I like that answer.
And while Joe Johnson is gone and Josh Smith is gone, you've actually got a better coach in there. I think, well, we think they may have a better coach. I haven't seen Budenholzer enough to be an assessment, but we think they have a better coach in there. And I like the personnel that they have to go against Chicago. This is one where if they run up in a playoff series, I'm definitely picking Chicago. I think Atlanta can make this competitive.
Yeah, I would definitely take Chicago. But
yeah,
I think it would
I'd take him in six. I wouldn't even take him in seven. I'd take him in six.
Yeah, I would even I'd probably say five, but I think there would be five really good games.
Yeah, and I think that honestly, versus the Knicks, who are so up and down, like – it sounds like I'm always crapping on New York, and I'm not. I'm genuinely not trying to.
You are, though. You are always crapping on New York.
I am always crapping on New York, which is weird because then you see my win outputs. I just want to have them. You know, I was thinking about it last night, and I haven't started doing the numbers in terms of making them fit into the requirements that you have to have.
Right.
But I mean, I'm toying with 51. I'm toying significantly with 51, which is. That's if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that I basically chalk up five games as random. That's not a huge drop off in their performance last year. If you say like they're going to lose a few more games of the random ones than they lost it last year, and have a little bit of slippage because the East is going to be more competitive, that puts them about where they were last year. So I'm actually really high on them. I'm not sure. I guess part of my question is like mental preparation. Are the Knicks ready to be as mentally prepared as Chicago is?
Probably not. I mean, just from what we've seen, and it's not necessarily a knock on the Knicks, but the Bulls just seem so focused at all times.
Yeah.
I mean,
which is weird because they're a veteran squad, right? Like,
yeah, but I think it really starts with the coach, and not that Woodson isn't a good coach or isn't good at preparing his team, but there is a big gap between your very above average coach, which I would call Mike Woodson with this Knicks team, and then Tom Thibodeau, who is, you know, the drill sergeant. Like, there's just this huge gap because Thibodeau is so kind of, I mean, we kind of describe him as like this psychotically prepared guy, right? Like, he's just overwrought with all this preparation. And I think that's the reason, is that it starts with the coach, and you can be a pretty prepared team with a lot of talent, like I think the Knicks are, or you can be a drill sergeant team like the Bulls.
If we only get to choose one, would you rather see Bulls Knicks in the playoffs or Bulls or Knicks Nets in the playoffs? Serious.
Oh, I'd probably rather see Knicks Nets because I think it would be better basketball.
Yeah, probably sure.
Yeah.
Let's do the Clippers.
I mean, the Lakers flat out don't matter to them anymore.
No, that's crazy to say.
It is crazy to say. Yeah, the me from the first like 28 years of my life thinks I'm drunk right now. I would say the Thunder.
Okay.
Thunder are there. I think that the Grizzlies are certainly there.
Yeah, Grizzlies are number one for me.
And I'm going to go Warriors.
I would like for that to become a rivalry. I would like for Clippers Warriors to be.
Oh my God, how fun were those games last year?
Yeah. It's honestly a pretty good matchup. You know, you got Boga versus DeAndre Jordan, you got Curry versus CP3. You know, Blake versus David Lee. In the battle of which great power forward can get more maligned.
David Lee dunks. He's like, people hate me more. And Blake Griffin throws down on him. He's like, no, they hate me more.
Compare the French horn to Eric. Sorry.
No idea what that means.
Oh, Bosch was on Parks and Rec, which I did not watch because it's not on CBS, but I watched the clip online.
Oh, I've heard that. Yes. Mm-hmm. I illegally watched it online.
Yes. Yeah, he Bosch dunks and then says, I play the French horn better too, Eric.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I wonder if Roy Hibbert is upset about that. Like that's kind of an Eastern Conference rivalry, and it's one thing to bring, you know, Andrew Luck on there because it's an Indianapolis thing. I'm sure they're friends and hang out, but to bring Bosch on there after the playoff loss,
it actually works because it's about he plays for the villainous city in the episode.
Yeah, the highfalutin.
Yeah, the highfalutin team. So it's actually kind of an interesting corollary.
Okay, maybe it works a little bit more.
The best part about that is there's a whole thing. Aubrey Plaza has this obsession with Chris Bosh. She's always tweeting random things about Chris Bosh, which are just unfathomably nonsensical and hilarious. And then they apparently introduced her to him when he was on set, and it was like the most awkward thing ever. I saw an article about it. Like, it's pretty amazing. Again, don't watch the show though. Yeah.
Illegally stream it.
Thursday night, so just wait for Elementary to come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which I genuinely do watch, actually. I actually do genuinely like Elementary and watch it every single week, and we just bought the DVD on the first season of DVD.
I genuinely like and watch every CBS Fine program.
But do not send me any tweets about Sherlock. I don't want to hear it. I do not want to hear about your BBC series. I don't care. Do not send it. I like this other show. It's okay for me to like another show about Sherlock Holmes.
Right. To keep us on track, start watching Derek on Netflix. Have you seen that? Ricky Gervais's new show?
No.
It's on Netflix. He's like this he's just like this very, I don't even know how to describe him without getting into trouble. Let's just say he seems underdeveloped. And he's this adult who it works in like a retirement home kinda, and he's got a couple of friends, one that hang out there, one works there, one doesn't. And I've watched only the first two episodes, but it's like, one, it's really funny because it's Ricky Gervais, and it's hard for him to not be funny. But there are also some really depressing moments in the first episode that made me think maybe I don't want to watch this show. Because, you know, it's like a retirement home, so, like, old people are going to die. And he's in love with the female coworker who's the female lead in the show. But I highly recommend checking it out if you want to laugh and cry at the same time.
Good plug.
Yeah.
What about the Warriors?
Wait, did we finish the Clippers?
I didn't do mine. I mean, I think I agree with you.
Thunder, Grizzlies, Warriors.
I wouldn't even say Warriors. I think I'll go with
Rockets. Thunder. Okay, yeah.
I'll go with Rockets just because I think that they play similar. They're kind of similar, I guess. I think they're in the same tier.
Sure.
And the Warriors are there too, but I think that the Rockets might be one that it'd be good for them to be a team like the Rockets to assert themselves. It's kind of the Thunder need to beat the Clippers to let them know you're not in our league, and the Thunder and the Clippers need to beat the Rockets to let them know you're not in our league.
Yeah, there's a food chain.
Yeah. Memphis just needs to beat the Clippers.
Yeah, let's do the Memphis one. Clippers, Clippers, Clippers.
It's like Texas OU. As long as they beat the if they beat the Clippers three times this year, it doesn't matter what they do.
Right.
Now Memphis needs to beat the Clippers. The Thunder are big games for them. I think that's bigger for them than it is for the Thunder and the Spurs.
You know what's interesting going back to the Thunder? If we had played this game last year, I would have said the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the division, they had
Denver
played
them well.
Yeah, they have a little playoff history. It's always a good matchup. There's kind of that, oh, you have two superstars, we don't have any, you know, we can still take you down mentality. But now it's just, I have no idea where to put the Nuggets.
I really want to go back to last year and have an alternate universe where the Rockets don't completely blow the sixth seed and see what happens. Like, if it wound up being Rockets, Warriors, Lakers.
Okay.
Like, I'd be really interested in seeing how that would have worked out. It would have been intriguing to see, because the Nuggets had just played all of the West teams so well. Now they played the Warriors well too. But it would have been interesting to see kind of what would have gone on there. There were so many good matchups last year. That's why I'm excited for this one. But I'm also like, can this year possibly live up to the hype? You know?
Yeah, and then God, Westbrook doesn't get hurt. What happens? Yeah. Maybe they're in the. I mean, I would put them in the finals.
And then we don't have Game Six, which is
the greatest moment.
Just
in NBA Finals history.
Unbelievable. Just
okay. I don't like this scenario anymore because that was just fun.
Yeah, that whole series. I was thinking about this yesterday driving around. I was like, God, that was such a great finals. We were so lucky to have that finals. And I feel like it's going to get more underrated as time goes on. I feel like people will forget it because of San Antonio, and it's when teams win multiple titles, I've noticed this, that it ends up being, oh, everyone just talks about that team and they forget the series.
Yeah.
Like, they all kind of run together. The Jazz series in 98 versus the Bulls kind of sticks out, but people tend to forget. I mean, like 91 through 93, people don't talk about those series much.
No, I agree. I kind of feel like the Pacers Lakers series was sneaky good.
Yeah.
I might be remembering that completely wrong. They had I guess they were pretty close. There were two blowouts. But for the most part they were within 10. I feel like that was a pretty good series.
Gonna have to wrap this up in a minute, but I want to get your thoughts on the Warriors are looking at giving Andrew Bogut an extension. I haven't seen the numbers yet.
I mean, for me, my thing is always, I don't mind any short-term contract. And by short-term, I mean a two-year deal or less. 3 years, I start getting kind of iffy on it. Four-year deals can just be dangerous in the sense that, especially with like an injury-riddled guy, like it's so much money. Like, what are you going to have to pay him? Maybe you can get him for 4 years, 40. I mean, that seems probably really low. But let's say a four-year contract, four-year, 48, because the injury concerns knock him down. But, God, I love him on that team when the healthy idea of him on that team. He was great in the playoffs last year. But just, can you trust him with an extension? That's my question. There's just so much – just smoke there that worries you. And I don't know that you can. I want him on that team. I want him healthy on the team, but I don't know that you can commit long-term money to him. So I would be interested to know what the numbers end up being in the discussions, whether they agree or not.
For the Golden State Warriors in the regular season, Andrew Bogut has played 786 minutes across 32 games.
That's not a lot.
Traded in 2012.
Yeah, that's not a lot. He legitimately looks like he's in the best shape of his life right now.
Yeah, that's the thing though. That's why it's I don't want to go out here and say, oh, don't do it, because then he could go out and by January I could be like, he's worth 13 mil.
Right. And how, I mean, when he was good, like when he was in Milwaukee, like those defensive teams were just so good, and it wasn't just him, but it was kind of a lot of him. And if you could put that kind of defensive team, even if you could be 90% of what those Bucks teams were defensively with that Warriors offense, good God.
Maybe you go, you give him a West deal. Maybe that's what you do. He's younger. He's 28. But maybe you give him the West deal. Maybe you give him a high money extension for less years. It's like 2 years with a team option for a third.
Yeah, if you went 2 years, $30 million, I would be fine with that.
I would even go 2 years just to get him locked out, because he's going to be mad that he's not getting longer-term money. if you do 2 years, 36 with a team option for another year at 12 or 13?
Yeah. I really don't think any two-year deal can be bad. I really don't. I don't think that Chris Humphrey's deal was bad, the 2 years, $24 million, because you have a year to see what you like of the guy, and then you have an expiring contract that you can deal. And I just think that I don't have a problem with that kind of logic. And you have an under agreement that will cost you draft picks, but you say you stay healthy, you perform, we're going to hook you up with another big deal.
You know, I'll tell you, I would go 3 years with a team option for a fourth at $52 million. That's $13 million a year. If he on that path, he would be 32 when the contract expires. You would just be getting out of it as he gets into the point where he's no longer going to be effective.
Can you even risk giving him that fourth year as a player option?
No.
You can't, right?
No, you can't at 31, because if he goes bad this year, if the ankle goes again this year and he's out for another year,
yeah, he's
and he's never the same again. If Elton Brand, right?
Yeah. Like,
there's actually a pretty good similarity here to Elton Brand.
Definitely.
So, like, and Elton Brand is one of those where people really do forget how great he was during the middle 2000s. I mean, he was legitimately great going into his last contract.
Yeah, he really was.
There was no way to know. I mean, he just fell off. It just – he was never the same. Now, that's a different injury, but I think you have to be concerned about, you know
– Anytime you're dealing with the lower extremities, though, yeah. Like, that's just
– For a big man?
Yeah. I mean, God, how many big men have we seen that just struggle with that consistently, because the human body is not meant to be that big. It's just not. And to do that kind of activity. And the thing with Bogut – he's not a young 28. He's 28 in 277 days. That's an old 28. He's practically 30.
See, I can't trust it anymore after my disaster with J.R. Smith. I'm just.
Does that change your opinion on the years on that contract now, knowing that he's an old 28?
No, I'll go ahead and give him the 33. That'd be fine. He'd be basically 33 starting at the end of his last year.
Okay.
Like he'd still be 32 the summer his contract was up. So.
I don't know. That changes everything for me. He's an old 28. He might as well retire. He's done.
Hey, the NBA is talking about moving start times in order to correspond with China.
To what?
Well, that's a question. Ben Golliver, our former colleague at the ELB before you got here, or at SI now, was talking, and he did the time zone calculations, which I'm thankful for because I suck at time zones. And basically, if the game starts at 7 p.m. on the East Coast, it starts at 7 a.m. in China.
So you'd have to move it back.
Yeah, you'd either have to move it back or you'd have to move it forward, and so like that's and so it's you know, for a 7 a.m. game. Or a 7 p.m. game in China, you'd have to play at 7 a.m.
So let's just say we've got a Warriors-Clippers game on ESPN. Doubleheader Wednesday night. That's at 9 p.m. Pacific? Or all what, the – because you, you have to stagger the games, more, right? You have to stagger them, so you have to move everything back. So
I'm thinking more what if you aired it at noon and the players played at midnight Eastern – because that's still 10. That's still 10 Pacific.
I don't know. J.R. Smith's just rolling in at noon. Maybe he'd still have energy.
Well, no, I'm saying the opposite.
Oh, you play the games at midnight?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fan friendly.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like, well, think of it this way, okay? What if you took a game in Milwaukee where no one's going anyway?
Okay.
Well, Milwaukee's fans are okay. What if you took a game in Atlanta?
Yeah.
Right.
No one's going to Atlanta.
No one's going anywhere. And you play that game at 1 o'clock Eastern. 1 a.m.
1 a.m.
Yeah.
Does that – no, here's the risk, though. Instead of having guys go to the Gold Club after the game, you're going to have a pregame meeting at the Gold Club. And that's – that you cannot do. You're only going to have half the players show up to the game. And then that makes a lot more writing for you and I.
I need you to check JR. I'm not checking JR. Why? He smells. Never mind.
Oh, my God. Well, I think that's all the time we have.
There's so many ways to finish that joke.
Oh, he smells like baby powder and glitter.
By the way, I looked it up, and there's some debate on whether Guido is offensive or not. I definitely did not mean any sort of anything offensive with that comment, and I apologize to any Italian Americans that would have been offended. It was described as far less offensive in an article I read on MTV News by some sort of expert. So apparently that's legitimate.
Possibly Kurt Loder says it's okay.
Yes, possibly Kurt Loder.
Actually, if Kurt Loder says it's okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's gonna be all right. But I genuinely did not mean to insult anybody.
I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm from Arkansas. Please forgive me.
I wouldn't worry about it. You can call me whatever.
My young child is yelling, so I will.
And I've got. Let's just say I have to estimate things, so I gotta run as well.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.